Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, we had Derek Chelton on. He obviously gave us a little bit of a blueprint of where they are going to go with the pitching rotation. Tonight is Josh Fleming, who will start, you know, as the opener role. And then it sounds like, and, you know, I actually didn't follow up, so this was all my bad, but he wouldn't have told us anyway. But it sounds like they're going to bring somebody up to sort of be the long guy today, the long reliever guy, or whatever you want to call it, because they can't use Ortiz because they have Ortiz starting, what is it, Thursday, I think, or whatever day he's going to be starting, so he can't be the long reliever guy. And so I think that that's where they're at right now. Obviously, they've got some challenges just because they've got some injuries. Now, the good news is all of these guys are going to be coming back after the All-Star break for the most part. Jared Jones will be out a little bit longer, but I would expect Bednar and Gonzalez and maybe even Falter to be back before the trade deadline. The problem is, you know, as we talked, it sounds interesting. It sounds interesting enough like, you know, Derek Chelton and company understand that if they're going to be able to add or they're going to want to add or whatever, they need to get in gear and win some games. And that's going to be difficult with so many of your key starting pitchers and everything else on the DL. So it could be a situation of where they get a whole bunch of guys back and it might be a little too late. But nevertheless, you know, I asked him and I asked him 100% the question about the John Parado report, and he basically said that Ben Cherington is always looking to add and is always, if there's something that can make the team better, he's always got the authorization to make it add, to go make a move. And so, I mean, whether, you know, you believe him or not, that is really, you know, his answer. And again, we can argue all day whether he's, you know, being truthful or not, but you got to remember the one thing about it is, I mean, he's got bosses. And so he's not obviously going to, rip his boss. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who basically think that just because you ask the quote unquote tough questions, you're going to get the tough answer. Well, all these guys have bosses they have to answer to. And so even if they don't agree with what's going on or they don't, you know, agree with maybe some things that have been told to them, you know, at the end of the day, they're going to toe the company line because they like their job. That's how the world works. Not just in sports, everywhere. People toe the company line because they like their job. They like to work. So if you're upset because you feel like Derek Chelton just kind of gave us the company line, well, yeah, that's what he does because he likes to work. He likes his job, and I don't blame him. I don't understand a lot of times where people who act like they don't know how this world works. Well, that's sort of how the world works, isn't it? You like your job. You want your job, you know, you want to make sure that your boss is happy. So you know, you're not going to go out on a limb or whatever. 412-928-9370 is the number. We can take some phone calls, actually, if you want to talk about the John Parado report that basically says that Bob Nutting has told the front office that there's no money to spend to add players this year. I don't know that anyone's really all that surprised by it. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Also, it's a Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. 591 today with cloudy skies. And 412-928-9300 is the number if you want to talk about the, you know, the Pirates. And the fact that Bob Nutting apparently, even though publicly, he said publicly that they're going to add if they have to, and they're going to go out and get players, and they're going to, you know, they're going to make the team better. But apparently privately he's saying something different, allegedly. And again, there's no reason to doubt John Perotto. I mean, the guy's been around baseball for, you know, I forget what it is, 40 years. He's got great sources and all that other stuff. But, of course, publicly they're saying one thing. Privately they're saying another thing. And so, City Limits, let me know if we have any callers.
We do. We got a couple.
Okay. Well, let's get right to the phones then. 412-928-9370. And let me start off with who are we starting off with?
Anthony in Oakland.
All right, Anthony. How you doing, buddy?
You know, I called you guys last week and said Bob Nutting was lying to everyone. And it's unfortunate. I think Major League Baseball needs to investigate this franchise, because this is just a malaise, man. They're not competitive. This is just an embarrassment. But that's not why I really called you, Bob.
Yeah.
I called you about the Cam Sutton thing, because once I heard the news, I called some of my sources to work with the Players Association. And here's exactly why he got eight games. When the incident first happened, he left Florida. He comes to the facility in Detroit, and their sources tell him that there's a warrant for his arrest to stay here, and they will turn him in. Well, he leaves the facility at that point and then cooperate, and went missing for a week or two. So the league, if it would have just been the domestic violence, he would have got 4 games, probably 3, because he was a first-time offender. They added 8 because they gave it for 2 offenses. First, the domestic violence that he pled guilty to. Secondly, he did not cooperate with the team, and that's why they immediately cut him. If you remember, they cut him immediately because he was told to wait at the facility, and he left. He walked out without response. So job abandonment, that's what they called it.
Hmm.
So that's why he got more severe than usual. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I said, I mean, it makes sense. Like I said earlier, I thought I figured the fact that he was abandoned, or that he was away for 30 days, or he was on the run, it probably added to what the actual suspension was.
Yes. And see, when you have an obligation by your contract, once the Lions got from Florida that they were looking for him, he should have waited at the facility. The Michigan police would have turned him over, and that would have been it. But he walked off the job, and they released him immediately by his collective bargaining agreement. He has to cooperate if his team tells him something in that manner.
There's no question about it.
So let me just say what I'm upset with him about. He should have allowed the union to file a grievance stuff. He should have, and they do that for, they don't like precedents to be started. He should have just taken this 8 games. He should have fought for what happened, and maybe it was reduced because he was a first time offender. He's never had even a traffic violation. So they're shocked that they don't know where he's getting the advice, but he should have listened to the union, which always tell you to appeal, especially since it's not in just Goodell's hands anymore. It goes right to outside arbitrator. So I don't know who's giving him advice. I wouldn't have done that if I was his rep.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it, Anthony. I mean,
okay,
again,
man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, again, I think it's one of those situations where the Steelers kind of knew what they were getting into. And so it's not like they, you know, went into it with their eyes closed. They understood. So the larger issue is the 8 games. What does it mean when it comes to what does it mean when it comes to the Steelers at corner? And we talked with Brian Batko about that. Okay, who's up next, City Limits?
We've heard from him a lot lately, Doc in Claysville.
Hey, Doc, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Paul, doing real good, thanks. I want to talk a couple things about yesterday's great win First of all, Mitch did a great job there on the mound. And of course, you mentioned it earlier, Reynolds worked the walk to start the big rally. But the big thing I want to talk about today is how Rowdy has turned it around. First of all, he's been playing great defense all season. I mean, he saved a couple games just with his glove. I mean, he's like almost like Keith Hernandez over there. And the other thing is, he started the big rally. He laid out a little slow grounder. And then the next guy hit a liner down the right field line, and the right fielder for the Mets misplayed it, and the race was on. The right fielder's running to get the ball, and Rowdy's running second on the way to third, and he's just watching his coach, and the expression on his face, Rowdy's face, said, "You're going to send me home," because Rowdy didn't know what was going on in the outfield. So he said, "Well, I'm going to go home." He goes home. It was a great, great, great play to score another run. And that was, I like it's neat. Well, now they're shouting out his name, you know, Rowdy, you know.
Right.
And so that's all I think I wanted to ask. Oh, one other thing. Williams is not on the team, right?
Alika Williams?
Utility guy.
Yeah.
He's not on the team, right?
No, not right now, no.
They should bring him up some way, get him on that team, because I figure it's going to be like the rest of the seasons. One run, two run, wins games. And that guy at least knows how to bunt and put a ball down on the ground, you know, so I think that'd be nice if they bring him back.
Thank you, Doc. I appreciate the call. We could live without a legal. I mean, first of all, you're going to take Nick Gonzalez off the field, a guy who might actually hit the ball out of the park, guy who might hit the ball, you know. And here's the thing about Nick Gonzalez. I'll say this: if you look at the Pirates statistically, the thing that impresses me probably the most is Nick Gonzalez is really good at, when guys are on base, getting them home. And you look, he's got 190 at-bats, and he's third on the team in RBI at 31. It's more than Rowdy Tellez, more than Connor Joe, more than McCutcheon, right? More than Sawinski. All those guys have more, and in some cases, a lot more at-bats than him. More than Triolo, way more than Cabrian Hayes. I mean, really, Reynolds and Cruz are the only two guys that drive in runs more than he does. And that's because he's got the ability to drive the ball a little bit. And again, 190 at-bats, he's fourth on the team in doubles. And he's, what is he here? Like one, two, three, four. He's like, he's got five home runs, so he's like sixth or seventh on the team in home runs. But it's, you know, it's good. It's good to see a young guy like that whenever we talk about hitters, you know, on the team that haven't necessarily been developed in this organization. One guy that looks like he might be, you know, on his way is Gonzalez. One of the things I'll say about him, his slugging percentage is .420. I mean, for what he is, he probably needs to get his on-base percentage up a little bit. And if he does that and his OPS is somewhere in 780 to 810, 820 range, I think, you know, he's going to be a good player for them for a long, long time. He's just got to cut down on his strikeouts. He struck out a ton, really, for what he is. And you know, walk more. And if he can do that, I mean, Nick Gonzalez has 49 strikeouts, 9 walks. If he can get those numbers closer to the middle, you know, that adds to his on base and whatnot. I think he becomes much closer to the guy they envisioned when they drafted him in the first round. City Limits, you got anyone else?
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Hello?
Ed, Richie.
You got Richie?
Yeah.
Okay, hello. What do you got for me?
I like to talk about the Pirates. There's really no point in them making a trade or anything because they're going to shut down Skeens and everybody else at the end of the season, maybe August. So what's the point of even doing that? But I would make a trade. If I was making a trade, I wouldn't trade any prospects. I would trade Keep Brian Hayes for a starting player. Surely somebody wants a player with a gold glove. And don't laugh, but I would also get rid of, like, O'Neill Cruz. He's too inconsistent. Surely somebody would give a package for a big freak player like that. And the other thing, Sawinski, I'm so tired of looking at him. I trade him to Colorado. Isn't that where he hits the best?
So, well, you're not, you probably can't give up on O'Neill Cruz. Can't give O'Neill Cruz because he's sort of that unicorn player that if he really continues to develop and develops into what they think he is, I mean, he gives you a superstar player that you could never afford if he wasn't on, like, his younger deals.
Yeah, but he's not a superstar player. He's really inconsistent. He hits, what, 2 home runs a month or something. Makes all kind of mistakes. You know? I would rather have a I mean, you could get a really good package for him.
Okay.
You would hope.
Well, I mean, I think if you look at what he's doing, though, he in recent weeks he's started to hit more.
Yeah, he has been better.
Yeah,
that's better. Oh, and another thing I wanted to say: if the Pirates were really serious about anything, they would get the Trevor Bauer. I heard you mention it several times. What are they waiting for? They got pitchers down. Here's one of the best ones around. Bring him up.
Yeah.
It don't cost him anything.
Well,
I know he's blackballed or something. But
yeah, I appreciate the call. I mean, I think the thing about Trevor Bauer, but they've made it pretty clear they're not going to do that. They made it pretty clear organizationally that they're not going to do that. Now, I'll be shocked if there's not a team that does that. Because when you look at the price of pitchers and you look at the price of, you know, players at the trade deadline, you know, everything we've heard of or everything we've heard about has been basically that the price is going to be really stiff because there's so many teams bunched up and it's going to be a seller's market and all that other stuff. Well, if that's the case, if that is the case, and it's going to cost lots of money, I would tell you this. You have to make sure that if you're one of these teams that maybe doesn't have quite the capital to go out and make a trade, that you basically go get a guy like Trevor Bauer, who all you got to do is sign him for $1 million or $2 million or whatever it's going to cost you. You go get them, and you put them in your rotation. For the Pirates, though, organizationally, they have made it very clear they're just not interested in that. And I know there's baggage with them, and we talked about sort of the balance when it comes to Cam Sutton, for instance, with the same kind of issue. But you have to do your sort of due diligence and kind of take a look at his background and his history and all that other stuff because some of what he was accused of has sort of gone away. Some of the things that he was allegedly accused of doing or whatever, I mean, he was exonerated on. And so, yeah, I mean, would it make sense for them to go get Trevor Bauer now? Not unless they really are going to be serious about trying to do a whole lot of other things. And if they're going to do a whole lot of things to try and make themselves better, try and get to the playoffs, well then, yeah, I guess, you know, going out and getting Trevor Bauer would make some sense. But for them, it doesn't. And like I said, as an organization, they don't want to touch him with a 10-foot pole. It doesn't seem. The time to go get him was a month ago or 2 months ago or whatever. But at this point, the closer that you get to the trade deadline, and this is one of my pet peeves with the Pirates this year, one of the things about the Pirates this year that has really, really just been annoying is it's felt like they have just been sort of trying to run out the clock, get to the trade deadline somewhere where they're at right now, right around 500, and be able to say, well, we don't think that this is the year for us to go for it. And if that's what they're doing, then getting Trevor Bauer would be just sort of a waste. The other thing is, you're not going to trade O'Neill Cruz. You want to tell me you want to trade Zawinski? There's a lot of people that say he's young. He still could be going. He still could be getting better and has got a lot of potential. And he's a left-handed bat that can hit home runs and all that stuff. I wouldn't mind if they traded. I mean, I don't care one way or the other with him. But no way are you trading O'Neill Cruz. For one thing, you're not going to get back anything at all. Anything at all. You're not going to get anything at all that comes close to replacing what he could potentially be. I'm willing to take a shot at, listen, O'Neill Cruz has a chance to be a unicorn. And that's the most important thing is you've got a guy who could be a superstar level player. And a lot of other teams don't. And so you're not going to get rid of him or move on from him or whatever. You're just not going to do that. Because if he becomes that guy, now all of a sudden you have a superstar that you're not paying like a superstar. And that's always the situation the Pirates need to be in. Down the road, if he develops into a superstar, yeah, you're probably going to have to trade him at some point because you're not going to be able to pay him that second contract. But right now, it would make absolutely zero sense to trade him. Again, I've been pretty open-minded with the Pirates on guys that they could trade. And, you know, City Limits, you and I have had a back and forth when it comes to Mitch Keller. But at the end of the day, you can agree with me that you don't trade O'Neill Cruz.
No, I mean, he is just too special of a talent that you would have to – that it would give up on him. And right. The defense isn't great, but the power bat is in there to the point of – and this is a bad comparison – his ceiling is probably around – a similar ceiling of a Paul Skenes in terms of the level of impact that he can have in one specific area of your team. Skenes on the mound and in the rotation and being your horse. Cruz and being a guy who can hit 30-plus home runs and drive in 100 runs, which you don't have outside of Brian Reynolds, who hasn't driven in 100 runs yet in his career.
Right. That's the biggest thing, I think. I think the biggest thing is you. If you have him, Skenes and Cruz over the next 3 years, and both really become the guys that we think they are, it shouldn't be that hard to build a team around them that wins, should it?
It shouldn't.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.